listening to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro, the place to learn about new technology and technological advances before they become mainstream. This podcast is sponsored by Ingram Micro's Imagine Next. It's not about the destination. It's about going someplace you never thought possible. Go to imaginenext.ingrammicro.com to find out more. Let's get into it.
Welcome to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro. I'm your host, Shelby Spurhawk, and our guest today is Mark Desom, Product Marketing Manager, Distribution Center, and Warehouse with Honeywell. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, today we are talking about the challenges that warehouse and distribution center operators are facing and really the solutions that Honeywell offers. But first, Mark, tell us a little bit about Honeywell and its safety and productivity solutions business unit.
Okay. So Big Honeywell, of which Safety and Productivity Solutions falls under, makes technologies that help aircraft, buildings, manufacturing plants, supply chains, and workers become more connected and efficient, which ideally makes the world smarter, safer, and more sustainable. Now, Honeywell Safety, Productivity, and Solutions provide solutions that improve productivity, workplace safety, and asset performance. And what that basically means is we're building stuff like mobile data collection devices, software to drive those devices and squeeze more information out of them, cloud technology, automation solutions, personal protective equipment, gas detection technology. I can keep going.
Yeah.
Customer engineered sensors, switches, and controls. Lots of stuff in the productivity and safety space.
Well, so we had Honeywell on the podcast at the very beginning of 2022, and the conversation was really about the state of the United States' supply chain issues. And so I thought it was really interesting how much Honeywell was doing to solve some of these problems and working with the premium carriers directly to get parts moving for the channel. So turning our supply chain focus to the warehouse part of things, what are the common challenges that are facing today's distribution centers?
Well, Shelby, I give you a little bit of info about myself. I grew up in the restaurant business. My dad owned restaurants in the Southeast, and we used to ask him, you know, what are the three toughest things about owning a restaurant? And he would always answer his entire life the same answer: labor, labor, and labor. Mm. And you're starting to hear that more so in the warehouse and DC space. You think about it, I read recently that there's going to be a need for 13 million warehouse workers by 2025. And of that 13 million, 75% of them are going to be millennials. So not only is it a challenge recruiting these folks, it's a challenge keeping them. Wages really aren't the tool that people can use anymore because wages are competitive across all warehouses now. But there is this rising expectation amongst these folks that technology is going to be intuitive and that the user experience as an operator is going to be consistent with what I'm used to. So that first challenge, you can sort of summarize it as worker performance and productivity, but it really has to do with just managing that labor force. Second is a challenge that there'll always be a challenge, and that's pretty much all of our jobs, and that's squeeze and optimization of our standing operating procedures. That's always going to be a challenge, how to get stuff in and through and out of our warehouse faster, more accurately, more safely, 100% of the time. And we'll always be working toward that goal. Another challenge that we hear a lot about is minimizing downtime. Mm-hmm. And when you think about downtime, the biggest driver of downtime is unexpected. The biggest driver of operational inefficiency is unexpected downtime. And so companies are looking for solutions that minimize that, that help them predict when there's going to be a problem before there is a problem because they can't afford downtime. Downtime just sucks all the efficiency out of a warehouse. There's also a challenge with operational visibility. And I'm not talking about the goods within the warehouse that's covered by the WMS. I'm talking about visibility to the operators and the employees of the warehouse. We do an okay job of it now, but there's so much more that'll be gathered and understood about how they're using gear and how they're going about their job. And some of the tools that are coming available now really help expedite that operational visibility, which is going to give people an opportunity to just squeeze even that next layer of productivity out of their warehouse. And finally, a challenge we hear a lot about is communication collaboration. In the recent past, once that employee gets out there on the floor and starts doing their thing, it's just kind of hard to collaborate and communicate. They're just sort of in the mode, and the tools that they currently have don't enable that. So you're starting to see a lot of requests for tools within tools they already have that allow for a little more consistent communication and collaboration.
So there's a lot there, and I'm glad that you're able to you know, enumerate these challenges that operators are facing. Labor. Yeah. You know, we're hearing that over and over again, and being able to attract and keep workers in any field, let alone within, you know, distribution centers and warehouses. It doesn't come down to just the pay in their check. It comes down to, you know, the meaning, the culture, the technology.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, because that makes a difference. So you're starting to say that they are looking for something that is, you know, intuitive. That's, you know, because these are millennials, these are people that are, you know, are digital natives. So for it needs to be very intuitive because they know what it should be and what it shouldn't be, right? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Definitely. They definitely have an idea as to what they want. And we're playing a little bit of catch up right now, but I think we're doing a pretty good job.
So how are distribution centers using technology to reimagine the supply chain? I mean, we're just coming out of, hopefully, knock on wood, you know, the pandemic and getting our supply chains kind of unraveled. How is technology really helping reimagine that process?
Well, like we mentioned a little while ago, you're starting to see technology being used as a recruitment tool. These workers are migrating to the employees that provide the technology that's most intuitive and comparable to what they've been using. The whole concept of pick up and go technologies that allow folks to be quickly onboarded and cross-trained, you're starting to see a lot more of that kind of stuff show up in the supply chain. You're seeing DCs and warehouses double down on solutions that optimize some of their high operating cost workflows. Put away and pick in, that represents about 55% of your labor costs in a warehouse in DC. So you're starting to see things geared specifically to those applications, like wearable technologies, like guided work technologies, what some people call voice-enabled technologies. You're starting to see people dabbling in robotics. We're not quite there yet, got a little ways to go, but they're starting to prepare for that. Vision and augmented reality technologies. But to me, most of the progress being made short-term right now is with wearables. I read something that said that 70% of the warehouses will be using wearable technology by 2023. Finally, software is getting an upgrade. Folks are upgrading their WMSs, or they're even adding these, what I like to call booster software, to get more out of the data that's being collected by the tools that folks are using in the warehouse so that they can just drive more visibility and drive more efficiencies out of the warehouse. There's a lot of room here and a lot of progress being made with some of the software tools that are accompanying the traditional data collection tools.
You mentioned wearable devices. Now, you know, we tend to think of Apple Watches and before that, the Fitbits of the world. What does wearable technology in the warehouse or distribution center look like?
Well, I mean, it can be as simple as a mobile computer that's been designed to be worn on the arm, coupled with perhaps a ring scanner that's used to scan barcodes, or it can be a barcode scanner, a back of the hand mobile computer/scanner. Again, you're trying to give folks tools that they don't even realize that they're using. They're just sort of automatic. They're natural. They go with the flow. They're not an encumbrance to whatever task they are trying to do. And so we're also starting to see, like, you know, this was big a few years ago. It didn't really take off, but it's starting to come back. Like the glasses that have the scanning capability, yeah. Stuff like that is starting to bubble up again. And I think we're going to get it eventually. We're just not quite there yet. Voice applications where you're wearing a headset and you have a terminal either on your arm or on your back or somewhere, again, freeing your hands up. And you're basically having a conversation with a system that's telling you what to do and how to do it. And you're just responding. And it's a very natural type wearable technology.
Yeah. Well, I read that Honeywell helped pioneer the barcode scanning market back in the 70s. So how have Honeywell's productivity products evolved since the scanner? And can you discuss some of Honeywell's newest solutions, probably some of those things that you've already started to allude to?
Yeah, for sure. And I've been around forever. And so I've seen the evolution of these products. For 15 years, it was a brick on a stick, and you just upgraded the software, you upgraded the processor, but it was still the same thing, just worked a little bit faster. Some of these mobile terminals that people were using, they were data collection tools, and that's really all they were. And it was great at the time, but eventually you start asking, okay, what more can we do with this? And so you're starting to see a lot more. The expectation is these devices need to do a lot more than just collect data, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later on. But a lot of the software that is starting to show up is driving that. So when we're building solutions now, we're really thinking about the operator more so. I mean, we always did, but we're really doing it now because of all the things that we talked about earlier about trying to keep these employees happy. So things like work-life quality, employee safety, minimizing worker fatigue, eliminating trainer frustration. These are all things that we didn't think a ton about. Yeah, fatigue a little bit, but not a ton about it in the past. But now these are all top of mind when developing products. And you have to understand the trends and make sure that the technology meets the expectations of these younger folks that are coming into the warehouse. Now, it's always been a balancing act. You've got the end user that needs certain things, but then you also have the ops manager and they want something different. And of late, with all the talk about recession, the old, the cool, flashy stuff isn't quite as compelling as the old, I need stuff that's reliable. I need stuff that's going to be around for a long time. You start to hear more of that kind of conversation. Yeah, they were enamored with all the pretty lights and buzzes and whistles, but now they're starting to go back to, hey, I just need the stuff to work.
Yeah.
And that's the operations people talking, not the end users, but that's starting to show up in a lot of the conversations that we're having with warehouse and DC operators. And specifically, some of the products that we've been launching of late that we think align with all these things that we're talking about. We've launched something called the CW45 wearable motor computer. It's a wearable computer that we designed from the ground up to be worn. And like we said earlier, 70% of the folks in warehouses are going to be using wearable technology of some sort by the end of next year. And we've found that wearable technology results in about a 6% productivity improvement. And that's a lot in warehouses now because there's been some really good progress made of late. This wearable technology that's being built, it's got to be very natural. It needs to work with the operator in a natural way. Ideally, they need to forget that they're wearing it. It's got to be comfortable. It's got to be easy to clean. It needs a big honking touch display because that's what they're comfortable with. But it also needs to be rugged. So there's a balancing act continuously in building wearable solutions because they're going to get hit and they're going to get beaten up. And the cool thing about the CW45 is you generally take a mobile computer, an ARM wearable mobile computer, and you generally connect a scanner to it. And we've recently launched what's called the 8675 ring scanner with the XR scan engine, which basically it gives you about 30 feet of scan range. So you can scan a barcode from about 30 feet away. And what that's able to do is that it's allowing people to put wearable technology into applications that traditionally have never seen it. You know, it's interesting. I mean, wearable was big a bunch of years ago and everyone either loved it or hated it. And there's still, this industry, there's a lot of people that have been in it for a long time and their memories, they never forget.
Yeah.
And so we're now running into, we're trying to introduce this brand new product that's a lot different than its predecessors and can do a lot of things that others, that the older versions can't do. And the first thing you get is, we tried that 10 years ago, it didn't work. And so it's kind of this is not your, as they say, this is not your father's wearable mobile computer. And so that's one of the interesting things. Speaking of scanning longer distances, we've also introduced what's called the Granite XP 1990 and 91. XLR, that's extra long range scanning. And it scans up to 80 feet. No, you're probably going 80 feet. I don't, my warehouse isn't that big. I don't have racks 80 feet away. I don't need 80 feet. Yeah, it's cool that it scans 80 feet. But what's really cool is that all the barcodes in between, the smaller barcodes, you can now scan from a longer distance. So what that basically means, like if you have a 13 mil UPC and you're used to scanning it from arm's length because you're used to typical standard range scanners, now maybe you can scan it from 7 feet. So now you don't have to get off that fork truck, or now you don't have to bend down, or now you don't have to get out of that chair, or now you don't have to walk to the other side of the room to scan that particular barcode. These extra long range scanners, don't just think of them as that far range, that's the number that manufacturers like to tote. It also gives you additional range with all the way up the spectrum. And these things are tough. They're really, really tough, made to be the interesting about Honeywell is that we put gear on satellites. I think I read the other day that like 50% of the manned spaceships have Honeywell gear on it. Oh, and so that technology and what we learn by doing that spreads through all the divisions. And so we know a thing or two about building a product that's going to survive in a warehouse. Yeah. Granted, XP is a perfect example. Just a couple of other newer things we've launched. We've added some products to our fixed mount scanner family, a product called the HF10 and HF11. What these basically do is they're used to automate and optimize conveyor-based workflows. So you mount them on a conveyor. And the nice thing about that is that a lot of the stuff, there are tasks in warehouses in DC that frankly people don't want to do. They'd rather not do them. They'd rather they be automated and they'd rather do something more interesting. What a fixed mount scanner allows you to do is just that. Some of the stuff that's more mundane or harder or just not as sexy, just put a fixed mount scanner in there and let that employee do something more interesting. And so that you get a win for the employer. You get a win for the employee because it keeps that employer around longer. It's just these are great solutions that a lot of people are thinking about. And it's this particular scanner's got something. I just got to talk about this because I think it's the coolest thing in the world. It's got a liquid zoom lens. And I was like, what is a liquid zoom lens? It is exactly what it is. It's a lens that's liquid. And I'm sitting there when the engineer is explaining this to me, I'm like, why would you even think that this is a thing that you can do? And I'm not going to go into exactly how it works because I wouldn't do it a service, but what it allows you to do is mount one of these fixed scanners. And instead of having to adjust the scanner so that you get the right field of view that you need out of that scanner, you could just send some software, send a couple of electronic zappers to the lens, and then it'll automatically adjust the field of view for you without having to move the actual scanner position. So that's pretty cool.
Because of the liquid.
Because of this liquid lens.
Because the liquidity of it, being able to
move easily. It's easy to adjust and modify. And finally, one other thing I just want to talk about is we've introduced the PX45 and PX65 high performance printer. This is on the rugged end of our industrial line. It's one of these 24/7, got to work all the time. I'm printing 10,000 plus barcodes a day kind of printers. And what's cool about the PX45 and 65 is that it's not as big as some of the alternatives out there. So you can put it into spaces where you may have not been able to put a 24/7 industrial high performance printer. And like you would expect, this thing is tough also.
Yeah.
So those are some of the new products that are different than what we've been traditionally introducing in the past.
Yeah. Well, being able to, I'm glad that you went into a little bit of depth about what the XLR, this long range scanning does, because you think, all right, well, what's the difference between this many feet and that many feet? But if it is the difference between grabbing the ladder, grabbing the forklift and trying to get up there, as opposed to literally just zapping it, from ground level, that does save a lot of time. So that's where you're seeing that tangible productivity increase, right?
Yep. Yes, indeed. And it is amazing when you give someone one of these new scanners and have these extended ranges. First thing they do is they find a barcode a million feet away. They go, okay, it scans that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And but you say, scan that barcode right over there. And of course they get up and like, no, don't get up. Scan it from where you're sitting. And they go, oh wow. Then the light starts to go off. That's going to save me some time. That's going to save a step. And as you know, in warehouses, every single step is time. And if you're doing it thousands of times a day, adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned the tasks that seem mundane or repetitive or, just aren't sexy. And granted, you don't think of barcodes or warehouses, having sexy tasks, but I'll tell you, as a consumer, I went into the Uniqlo store in Orlando, and basically you put your stuff into this kind of, I guess, in container, and you don't have to individually scan it. It just somehow elves counted up and scanned everything that I had. And I'm thinking, my mind was blown. And I was like, I know I'm talking about barcodes and scanning here, but wow, this was really cool. So yeah, I mean, being able to have a little bit of that spark that, you know, that is cool. And I get to get rid of the tasks that I don't want to do and maybe have a little bit of fun with it.
You know, what's interesting is when you see someone geared up with, say, a voice terminal and a wearable, it looks cool.
Yeah.
There you go. That looks pretty cool. You look pretty cool on that get up. And they're kind of good. They're proud
Iron Man now.
Right. That's exactly what they feel like. Yet it's not something that's obtrusive and in the way. They're just like, yeah, I'm feeling pretty cool too.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, with the challenges that warehouses face, of course, there come opportunities. So expanding on these Honeywell solutions that we've discussed, can you speak to the opportunities that exist in the channel for Ingram Micro partners and resellers to really kind of help their customers and demonstrate what type of opportunities are here?
Absolutely. So when I get asked by a partner questions like that, the first thing I like to say is, hey, look, we, including us, including Honeywell sales reps, got to get better at selling the entire portfolio because there's a lot of stuff out there. Don't just go in there and sell that printer. There's a whole bunch of stuff, not just other hardware, but software that the customer's looking for and may not be aware that the Ingram Micro partners can get through Honeywell. So learn the entire, at least become familiar with all the solutions out there, learn how to position and sell them, and then talk about the new stuff. The example I gave about the guy that was like, we used wearables 10 years ago, didn't work. It's a different world out there. And bring these solutions back up again and challenge the customer. Say, look, hey, look, just give this a shake. And you got different types of folks in your warehouse that are probably going to be more amenable to these solutions like that. And B, they're different solutions. They do a lot more stuff. Mm-hmm. For example, traditional warehouse terminal has got a keyboard. If you walk in a warehouse and you're an Ingram Micro partner and you see nothing but 2010 era hardware.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I would light up. I'd go, oh my God. And first question I ask is, how effective are you in maintaining your employees? And they go, hey, it's been a struggle. I'm like, let me tell you, I can look at that gear. They don't like using that stuff. There's a bunch of new stuff out there that's going to help you with that. Not only is it going to help you do your job faster, but it's going to help you retain those employees.
Right.
So go in there and sell the new stuff, get to know the new stuff better. Keyboardless warehouse terminals. That's kind of what a lot of these young folks are looking for. Again, lots of folks have been in this industry for a long time. So don't let, we tried that before, challenge that when you can. And finally, you got to get fluent with the software. It's really, Honeywell software is the glue that holds our story together. And so get more comfortable with it because it's going to help these warehouse operators truly understand what's going on out there. Yeah, it's one thing to know, I got 100 widgets in this bin and they need to get to Tulsa on Tuesday and here's how we're going to do that. I think we've pretty much got that down. It's what is exactly happening to the gear that's being used? How are the operators using it? Are they using it efficiently? Is the gear being used efficiently? There's a lot of money invested in gear that's being used to run warehouses, but there's not a lot of visibility traditionally in it to that gear and how it's being used and how the folks, what kind of potential issues could be about to rear their ugly head. So get to know the software that gives visibility to all those things that helps eliminate unplanned downtime.
Yeah. Well, as we do start to wrap up our episode, we always ask our guests the same final question. And that's, where do you see technology going in the next year? So of course, that's broad. Nobody has a crystal ball. But where do you see us in 2023 as far as this technology in the space?
It's going to continue to get easier to use. It's going to continue to be more natural. That whole term grab and go.
Yep.
You just want a new operator to be able to grab the stuff and it just walks them through their job naturally. You're going to see a growth in wearable solutions. It's going to become more of an extension of the human body and it's going to require minimal operator interaction. Stuff is just going to happen that's supposed to happen. You're going to start seeing products that are not only, you're seeing this now, that can be used today, but also will be able to support whatever new technologies are coming down the path.
Yeah.
And so if you're somehow going to have some robotics in there, you're probably going to still have some data collection type devices and they're going to need to be up. You don't want to have to scrap all your old stuff, find new stuff to work with that new, whatever it is that's in the warehouse. And so you want to make sure, and what we're seeing with a lot of the technology is it's being planned to last a long time. And you're also, there's going to continue to be an increase of digitization. And so these terminals that have traditionally just been data collectors are going to be just a gold mine of information. People are going to be able to take all that data that's being collected about what's being done in the warehouse and do more than just shipping and receiving. They're going to really be able to refine how folks are operating in a warehouse and give them visibility to things they never had visibility to in the past.
Just say it, Mark. We are all going to be Iron Man.
Yes, indeed. But we're going to be happy about it.
You're right.
It's going to make our lives better.
Exactly. Well, for listeners who have any questions about something we talked about today or want to find out more, how can they reach out?
Obviously, you can talk to your Ingram partner, Ingram Micro partner. They know a ton. But if you want to go to a website, sps.honeywell.com is a great place to start. And lots of good information there. We're constantly adding new content, not just about hardware, but about the things that we discussed today. What kind of issues are people struggling with and how are they solving those issues? And you'll find a lot of information on that and on our website also.
Excellent. Mark, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been quite a pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in and subscribing to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro. If you like this episode or have a question, please join the discussion on Twitter with the hashtag B2B Tech Talk. Until next time, I'm Shelby Skirhawk.
You've been listening to B2B Tech Talk with Ingram Micro. This episode was sponsored by Ingram Micro's Imagine Next. B2B Tech Talk is a joint production with Sweetfish Media and Ingram Micro. Ingram Micro production handled by Laura Burton and Christine Fan. To not miss an episode, subscribe today on your favorite podcast platform.